The Lord be with you. It is good to have you in the Lord's house this day that he has given to us. The order of service is before you. We'll follow that this morning. A couple of notes to highlight. Thank you to those of you who were here yesterday for demo day for the deck. I don't think anybody left here bloody or injured, so that was a super win for the group of us that were here. Don't worry, there will be plenty of opportunities for you to invest some sweat equity in the coming days and weeks and months as the project continues. So look for those opportunities coming up. Again, next Sunday after Bible class, brief meeting about higher things. I do have some more info packets if there's anybody else that would like one on that. Bible class today. I've got to duck out for circuit visitor duties after the service, but we will meet for Bible class. We've got a couple of interesting videos to show you about somebody from the outside visiting a Lutheran church for the first time and kind of learning what it's all about. So that's worth your time to stick around for that. In our prayers today, Diane and Eric, Cindy and Bob, as usual. Also today, we remember Craig, a member of Marilyn's extended family, diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. David, Mike Kish's cousin, who is also placed on hospice. And Pat Lynn's sister, Betty, as well, placed on hospice. We remember them in our prayers today. Let us sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were 7 brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and the third took her, and likewise all 7 left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the 7 had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well," for they though no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord. O Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. What if? We've all heard that question before. What if I ate all of my Halloween candy at once? What if Hinch hadn't pulled Greinke in Game 7? What if? Parents and grandparents and teachers from Sunday school to seminary are familiar with that hypothetical question. And that's what the Sadducees bring to Jesus. It's a gotcha. What if? it's important to remember that the Sadducees were the religious aristocrats of Jesus' day. They were the elite. They were the upper echelons of society. They controlled the temple and the politics in Jerusalem. So St. Luke clues you in on the Sadducees' true theological motivations right from the start. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. The Sadducees denied the resurrection of the body, life after death. They also held to a strict Torah-only authority of Scripture, just the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All of the rest of it was rabbinical rubbish. Which is why that when the Sadducees weren't teaming up with the Pharisees to beat up on Jesus, they were busy beating up on the Pharisees. So they ask, St. Luke says, Jesus a hypothetical question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother." Being good Sadducees, they quote Deuteronomy 25 on the laws concerning levirate marriage, the marriage of the priesthood. It was the obligation of a brother to marry his brother's widow if he left no heirs when he died. Now that sounds really odd to us. But it was connected to the importance of family lineage, of offspring, of inheritance, and the promised seed going all the way back to Abraham. But of course, the Sadducees aren't interested in Mosaic laws on levirate marriage at all. Remember, the Sadducees deny the resurrection. So they don't come to Jesus out of genuine curiosity. They toss this hypothetical hand grenade out there to trip Jesus up, to trap him in his words, to dismiss his crazy teachings about the resurrection of the dead. So what do you think, Jesus? Seven brothers. The first took a wife, he dies without children. The second and the third brothers do the same. And likewise, all seven brothers leave no children. And they died. So in the resurrection, whose wife will the woman be because all seven brothers were married to her? Now I'm sure the Sadducees thought they were being really clever. If Jesus denies Moses and the law, if he denies marriage or the resurrection, well, then he's clearly not the rabbi that everybody claims that he is. And all the more, if his teaching on the resurrection sounds ridiculous. But Jesus is already leaps and bounds ahead of them and their game. He moves straight through the ridiculous question to the unbelieving heart of the questioner. It's not about marriage. It's not about the law of Moses. It's about the resurrection. It's about faith in God's promise to raise the dead. And so Jesus says to them, "The sons of this age," that is, people in this life, "marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy," and you understand that Jesus means here that those who are declared worthy by grace through faith in Christ, "those who are worthy are those who attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead, and there in that life after death, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." Now, that does not mean that you become angels. Hear that clearly. It simply means that, like the angels, you rise to life, never to die again. That's the hope and the comfort of the resurrection. Not that you become bodiless angels floating around in the sky, but that by God's grace, through Jesus' death and resurrection, you too will be raised up bodily on the last day, a glorified new creation, yet a real resurrected body. It's hard to underestimate just how remarkable Jesus' words are, because we live in a world that's obsessed with death. Either death is glorified and it's idolized as your right to choose, or it's denied and selves are idolized. You only live once, right? So do whatever feels good while you can. It's not too different from the Sadducees, really. No resurrection, no life after death. All that matters is the here and now. So by exposing the Sadducees' selfishness and their unbelief in God's promises, Jesus also exposes your sin. That within each of you lives a tiny little Sadducee who clings to the stuff of this world as if this life is all there is. That you live as if you mattered most, that no one, nothing else matters. The Sadducees were right about one thing, though. If the resurrection is just a repetition of this world, just a rerun of this life, then it would be ridiculous. But the resurrection is something completely different. It is a new creation, a world without death. Think about that. A world where no one will ever die. And yeah, that is kind of hard to wrap your brain around. You might even think that it's preposterous. Which is why eternal life and faith and trust in His promise that the resurrection, that all of this is gift from God through Jesus' death and resurrection for you. And then Jesus checkmates the Sadducees by quoting the Torah they hold so dearly. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, He is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to Him. Our Almighty God is the God of life. Yes, He gives laws through Moses to preserve life in this world, but He also gives a promise to Moses about life in another world, a world without end. More than once, Jesus doesn't say, "I was their God," but "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Present tense. They are as alive to Him as He is to them. So a hypothetical resurrection gives no hope, because you don't have hypothetical sins, but real ones. Real sin, real suffering, real death, for which you have a real Savior in Jesus. A real, historical, reliable, and true death and resurrection won for you by Jesus. In a world that's immersed in death, Jesus brings the promise of life, eternal, never-ending life. For Jesus is the God of the living, crucified, risen, and living for you. Present with His promises for you as surely as He is with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all who live in Christ, waiting for the resurrection of the dead. I am is the God who was in the burning bush for Moses, in the pillar of cloud and fire for Israel, in the womb of Mary for you, in human flesh for you, on the cross and in the grave, and ascended in the body for you, in the water and the word of your baptism, for you in the bread and wine, which is his body and blood given and shed for you in word and promise, even now today. For Jesus is not the God of the dead, but of the living, and you are alive in him. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.